Chris, do you usually breakfast? Roy, do you usually breakfast?
No.
Just kind of steamroll through the day and then eat lunch?
Yep.
I've been eating more breakfast in this workflow, like being at home.
Like in quarantine, you've been eating more
Yes.
breakfast? What does
Like
that breakfast look like?
some days fruit, some days like a piece of toast. My wife is into like toast, butter. Honestly, I just have like my wife eats for breakfast. She just makes more
Two of them.
I'm realizing the importance of breakfast.
Really?
I'm telling you, if you don't eat till like noon, you're like, I start feeling it, man. It's crazy. So breakfast has really helped me get to like 2 o'clock, you know?
There is nothing worse than that feeling of like, oh, it's 1 o'clock and I haven't eaten a single thing all day. It's just like this emptiness in your stomach. And it's just like, Tony, have you been eating more breakfast in quarantine?
No, I haven't had breakfast at all in quarantine, right? Like, that's the interesting part and where I was getting to. And I asked the guys, like, hey, do you guys eat breakfast now? And I find myself not eating till 1, 2, 2:30. And again, I'm one of those weird people that does that intermittent fasting. So my body's become accustomed to not eating until that point. And that's why I have that huge gallon jug, where I don't know where it is right now, that huge gallon jug of water. The more water you ingest, the more energy you feel. So I've been doing that and seeing like the test results of not eating and then just drinking water. Feel pretty good.
I mean,
Good to know.
I don't think I could ever wait till 2:30 to eat. I mean, that seems it seems like what you're saying is total bullshit, to be honest.
It could. It could
Drink
absolutely
water or don't eat, you'll feel energized. Tell that diet to go f itself. I mean, that's what that is.
Right, dude.
And that's another thing, Tony. The way you put it is, I'm one of those annoying guys that likes to intermittently fast. I don't say
Right.
weird. I call you one of those jerks that's
Oh, I'm
an
a jerk.
intermittent faster. Like, get over yourself with your fancy diets, and you figured out the world and exactly the right amount to, right amounts to eat,
Yes.
the right time to eat. Hey, how about you get over yourself? All right.
No doubt that Mike, like of all the guys on our show, the guys who would find the fancy schmancy diet would be Tony and Mike Ryan.
Seriously.
Hey, great.
Whatever happened to the salad diet? Whatever happened to just when you wanted to go on a diet, you ate a bunch of lettuce? Whatever happened to that,
That's a
Tony?
good question. I don't know, because what I keep reading on these different blogs, and obviously this is, my 29th year kicking into my 30s, and I'm going to change my lifestyle. I've had a little bit of a, lapse the last 2 weeks. We've had a
Oh,
lot of
you
different
started
things
like
happen.
4 weeks ago, though. Come on,
I
this
know,
is.
I know, I know. We've had a little bit of a rocky terrain for the last couple of weeks, but I'm hooking up with a trainer, a friend of mine who's
Oh,
going to
here we
be
go.
able to help
Oh,
me
good.
out and help me with
Are
some
you just trying to
diet
plug
stuff.
the trainer? Is that what this is
No,
about? What's
I didn't
happening
even
right
say
now?
his name. I haven't said his name. I'm gonna go over there with him. He's
By
going to,
plug, I mean net promoter,
maybe in a little bit. That'll offset the cost.
What?
But more importantly, he's gonna get me right. I'm gonna still do my intermittent fasting, and I'm gonna still be a jerk about it. I think it's the
Such
Chris,
a
can you put this on the poll? Whatever happened to the salad diet? Yes, no. Whatever happened to the salad diet? And also, whatever happened to Atkins, where you just poured a
Seriously.
bunch of bacon and meat into your mouth? That was it.
No
Yeah.
bread. As long as you didn't eat carbs, you were good.
That did the keto diet like just steal the Atkins thing? Like, was the Atkins diet
Basically.
just all protein and no carbs? Like, I feel like the keto, which is all popular now, that's basically the Atkins diet.
Yeah. They just repurposed it, right? Like, they repackaged it. Atkins got such a bad name, and I guess Greg and Stu, you guys can attest to this. In the 80s, like, Atkins was like the greatest thing of all time. We just revolutionized dieting, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, wait a second, this is bullshit. This doesn't work. I think they just repackaged it as keto and had a bunch of influencers talk about it.
I think Greg, my memory, if my memory is correct, I think Atkins was more 90s, early 2000s than 80s. I actually did the Atkins diet for about 2 months, and I lost a lot of weight. But it is hard not to eat bread, man. I love bread,
I
and
love bread too.
so it was really hard just eating, red meat essentially the entire time.
Yeah, I've never in my life been on a proper diet per se, where I've like followed a regimen and
We know,
eating
we can
certain
tell.
things.
We
And
can tell, yeah.
yeah, I know, I'm just being honest
Being
here.
here.
We did, my wife and I did once go on a rice diet, I think it was called, where
Rice diet.
where we were eating nothing but white rice and rice cakes, and it was just the most awful
What?
thing.
How'd that go?
Terrible. That's why I've never been on another diet. I now weigh 418 pounds. Thank you.
The guy who least needs a diet on our show is Roy. Like, Roy, do you diet ever?
No, not at all. Never. Why would you?
Shred it.
But Roy has this thing where he just has a great metabolism right now. I feel like when Roy's 60, he's going to be really overweight because he doesn't have a good diet. Roy, come on, be honest.
I have an excellent diet. Like, I eat healthy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, Roy. Here's where Greg comes in and says, I have the seafood diet. I seafood and I eat it.
Yeah. My dad used to say that. Patent pending.
It's great because I know my dad's lines hours before my dad delivers those lines.
Me too.
We go out for dinner. I know it's a 2-hour dinner, right? And I know when the check comes, the joke's going to be to the waiter. What I do, break a window?
Yes.
That's my dad's line too. That's an old guy. Must be an old guy line. Dude, Gotts, man, that was so fun a couple months back, or it might have been a year back now with this quarantine, when we did that thing with Hank Azaria for Stupidity. If you have not heard that, you got to check that out. That was real, and not because the Codys are in it, but we did the what was it, the love matchmaking game? Oh, man.
Yeah, what we did was, I mean, we call it the Stoolywood game, even though it was, you know, me and my dad versus you and your dad. And we're doing one. I got a cool one. So we did one with Greg and Chris, and it was fantastic. I've done one, me and Abby versus Mike Golick Sr. and Christine Golick. And we're doing one with my brother coming up where Azaria is going to host it. It's me and my brother versus Stan and Jeff Van Gundy.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Who knows their brother the best? So we're doing that. So we have fun with those.
Your dad was such a delight. It was my one time in our whole relationship that I got to like interact with your dad, and just hearing you interact with him, it's kind of the way I interact with my dad. It was just, I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah, it's fun. It's part of the reason we don't. We have fun. We're going to do another one with you guys soon.
Who won? I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. it doesn't matter. We're going to do one with Caliendo with you guys. We did his area.
I know. Right? Didn't you keep score? Scorekeeping?
Dad, it was like months ago. Who could remember who won?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone was keeping
score. Remember that every answer my dad had for me was as if I was like 12 years old. It's as if me and my dad hadn't spoken since I was 12.
The only other one I've done with my dad is when we did it with Phil and Chris Sims. And Phil Sims, being the competitor that he is, was so pissed at Chris that at one point he told his son he was going to punch him in the face.
Jesus. Like, he's a potter. I mean, my God.
So, Stugatz, how was that thing last night? Like, was it something where you and Pablo could interact as a virtual fan throughout the game, or you guys were only seeing each other on the live shots?
It's a great question. For starters, so I did the Heat virtual fan thing last night locally. And for starters, like Pablo and I were talking about this. I don't know if I like it, dislike it, if it's the future, if it's not. I have no idea. Because there were wireless issues in South Florida, Verizon.
Verizon was having an issue yesterday, big time.
A major, major issue yesterday through my entire – everyone's entire day off, tower foul and whatever. By the way, tell Levitard I'm getting the lawn mowed early this morning. I don't want to get upset. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets upset, Craig, about these things. So I don't know. I don't, you know, it was dizzying, it was confusing. It was hard to navigate. It's hard to do stuff. You're not allowed to bring signs, Chris. We didn't know that. I don't think you're going to get on there as a Heat fan with a TJ Warren anything.
Right.
Because they control who they show and who they don't show, which I kind of don't like. When you're panning the crowd on TV, you might get a few Heat fans, and then you might stumble across, you know, a Pacer fan wearing a TJ Warren jersey.
Right.
That should be okay. What I didn't like and what scares me about all of it is I thought I was the only one having difficulties logging on, signing in, figuring out how to use, until I realized that Pablo Torre was going through the same exact thing.
That had to make you feel better. That had to make you
for the NBA. Because no one is smarter, younger, and should be able to navigate that thing quicker than Pablo Torre, and he was having difficulties. So that's the best I can tell you.
I'm thinking of asking the Heat if I can do that and be a virtual fan, and I'm wondering what are the rules and regulations like beyond no signs? Because I was wondering if in my shot I would be pretending to smoke a pipe. Would that be allowed? Because it would be indoor. It would be in the arena.
I think that you, if you're in the comfort of your own home, which you are, Greg.
There you go.
I think you can smoke a pipe and be fine.
Great.
I don't know if they put it on there because I don't want to promote smoking or the smoking of a pipe.
That's what I'm thinking, but there would be no smoke coming from it. It would be right. Totally a prop.
Right. All I was told was no signs. I don't think, like, no, you can't record and send out on social media. I don't even think you take pictures and send out. It was, you know, I was in a room. It's fun because you're constantly moving seats. So sometimes they move you up, they'll move you back, they'll do whatever. J-Jax gave me a little shout out last night. And then, but I'm trying to do some things, like Mike Diamante's in my room. And so the Heat, because they try to do everything first class, and they did. They're great. Diamante's in the room, and so you're getting a little of what you get in the arena. You're getting Mike Diamante, and he's delivering messages.
Oh.
And you're right. He doesn't do the starting five, but, like, you know, he's showing stuff, and, like, he's doing what Diamante does. And then you get Dale, who's the in-arena entertainer anyways.
Oh, man.
Who's a legend and been there forever. And Dale is also in that room with you, and he's trying to entertain you. And so it gives you a little bit of a feel of what it's like to be in a game. But there are certain restrictions, and one of them is no signs. They didn't say anything about props, Greg, so I think you might be all right. But they certainly said no signs.
Stu, what's looking back at you as you're looking into the laptop, into the computer? Is it like just a bunch of other virtual fans, or is it just a box of Mike B? Is it a box of Uptown Dale? Is it a little box of the game? Like, what are you looking at?
So I did the first half on my phone because I was having major issues. Then once I got on the computer, the whole world changed. So I saw my section, the seating. You pin the game on one side. You have your section on the other side. You have no earthly idea of knowing whether you're on TV because it's delayed, right? So you're not watching the TV feed. You're watching that feed. And then once you have that set up properly, you're just – everyone puts their volume down when the game comes back on so you can watch the game. You know, before the game starts, it's like, you know, wave, we're going to do the wave, we're going to do this. Cheers. I mean, we're practicing cheers. And then I just saw like a bunch of fans sitting next to a bunch of fans.
Nice.
So it's like a Zoom almost.
Yeah. It's like – yeah. And you split the screen between the game and your section. But once you could see the section, which I couldn't do on my phone, then I started to realize the possibilities are limitless. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to eat Pablo's head, you know?
That's what I mean. It could tell you guys were working out some bits at some point, so I was curious about that. That's really cool. And, yeah, that's really cool.
Like, the more used to it I get, I think I'll enjoy it, you know? But, like, Greg, you would be dizzy in there.
It's sounding daunting the more I'm hearing about it. When you're in the Zoom room with other fans and everything, you can't speak, right? You can't talk to Pablo.
No, you can.
Just during the breaks.
Well, no, you can even do it during the game if you really want to. Right. I just try not to interrupt the telecast. But, yeah, during the breaks and timeouts, like, I can say, hey, Pablo, like, so, Greg, it's kind of like this sometimes when you talk. You're the face and name that pops up in the big screen.
Yeah.
And it's similar to that if one person speaks. So when Pablo spoke last night, I saw him. He would pop up. So I can speak directly to Pablo. And quite frankly, the people in our room, they wanted interaction with me, Pablo, Poppy, Diamante, you know, Dale. Like, they were wanting some of that, and they wanted to interact with you as well. It's a very cool way for you to not have to leave your house, sit at home with fans, and watch a game. I did find that to be very cool. I enjoy it for the most part, except me logging on port.
When we come back, we talk about college football, and you can have cheese only one way for the rest of your life. And we're back. Greg, do you want to get into this college football stuff? Because I finally heard a college coach speak where I wasn't like, ooh, that sounds icky. I feel like he's actually saying something that makes sense. Or do you want to get into cheese one way for the rest of your life?
Well, the college thing is what's happening is the biggest sports story in the pandemic because, you know, you've got the Big Ten and the Pac-12 presidents, you know, being the adults in the room and reportedly trying to end seasons, and you've got coaches and players in what sounds like a budding mutiny. You know, they want to play, and Nebraska's talking about playing even if the Big Ten isn't, and, like, that's going to fly. And so it's going to be fascinating how this unfolds.
Who's the college coach who said something?
I believe it or not, Nick Saban's comments to me made so much sense. And I know a lot of people are kind of, you know, getting out there with the take of, look, if these guys all go home and we don't have a football season, these players are just as much risk to have this disease or virus at home doing whatever the hell else they're doing. Or in some cases, a lot of these players come from areas where they're much safer in the college when college overseeing them. So Nick Saban basically just said that. And it was crazy that, because I think of Nick Saban as a guy that's like, I need to get me. But he seemed like a guy that was making points on the fact that this is safer, actually. This could be a safer option for players.
I think that's ludicrous because it involves travel. Look, and the parallel is what's happening in baseball. You know, the NBA and the NHL are fine because they're bubblicious. But when it comes to baseball, when you have travel and airplanes and airports and hotels and different stadiums, that's where the risk is magnified. And it's being proven in baseball with the Marlins, with the Cardinals, with other teams. And football is going to have that risk twofold because they have a lot more players, coaches, and staff. And they're in a sport where contact is happening on every play to every person.
I would say when you break protocol within your sport, that's where it's happening. When you're the Indians and you're going out and doing things you're not supposed to be doing, that's how you contract, you know, the virus.
Right.
So for me, I happen to agree with Chris here. By the way, ludicrous should be a segment that we do based off your name, Chris. Ludicrous. I agree. Nick Saban, at this point, he has earned all the money in the world. He's got enough money for the next 50 lifetimes. So I don't think his comments, if there's a coach out there whose comments are not driven by the dollar, I believe them to be Nick Saban. If there's a guy who can afford to never coach another game in his life, it's probably Nick Saban or Dabo or someone like that. And I do agree with this. I said it yesterday on the show. I do believe that these kids are in a safer environment playing football. Harbaugh pulled out the stats where, you know, 857 administered tests and a very small percentage of them have come back positive. I do think they're safer in that environment than any other environment they'd probably be in. And so, therefore, I happen to see what Chris is saying and understand why he would agree with what Nick Saban is saying.
Well, the NFL Players Association president referred to football as a perfect storm for virus transmission. And I think any doctors, scientists would agree. And I just think it's inherent in the sport that there's going to be risk. And, you know, you're putting 18, 19, 20-year-old young guys on road trips. There are going to be violations of protocol. There just are. And it's just a big risk. I'm not surprised to see football season disintegrating before our eyes because I think it was almost inevitable. And when they talk about not canceling but postponing and playing in the spring, I hate to be a pessimist, but we're not going to be over the coronavirus in the spring of 21. No way.
So my comment here is twofold. One, speaking to Greg's talking about the postponement instead of canceling, Herbie yesterday, Kirk Herbstreit, came out and was like the first to report, hey, they're not canceling. Big Ten is not canceling the season. They are postponing the season. That's the only place I heard that from was from Herbie. And obviously, right, he's really well connected. But that gets you to think, like, is there something going on in the back room of the Big Ten saying, look, That was almost a teaser test. Like, hey, we're canceling the season. And then everybody just goes crazy. And they're like, all right, wait, that wasn't good. Let's say if we're postponing the season, what happens then? So I think that's what that news, you know, stream
pushed out.
Little chum
in the water, huh?
Exactly. A little chum in the water from the Big Ten saying, oh, that didn't sound good. We don't like that. All right, we're postponing. We're not canceling. We're postponing it. And two, what about this thought, boys? What if colleges across the country made it so that the students were taking online classes, but the actual universities themselves on the grounds of the school are a bubble for student athletes, right? And nobody comes in or out if you're not a student athlete or a coach. So that way you can control what's going on inside that school and you can at least mitigate the spread from students to student athletes if they're just all home.
I mean, then you're really peeling back the curtain. Hey, students, you don't care. This school was built for the football players, by the football players.
Exactly.
You stay the hell home so they can stay safe. I like it.
Well, if we could get them all on one campus, like every school, then it would be obviously that would be a real bubble. But in your scenario, they'd still have them to travel.
Like, yes, but they'd be independent bubbles in each school, right? Like Michigan State would have its own bubble. Michigan would have its own bubble. Ohio State, Nebraska, Maryland, you know, Northwestern, all these different schools. So then when they play each other, obviously they'd be tested. Yeah. Hey, we're good over here. We're good over here. No positives. All right, let's play.
I mean, that sounds like a good plan, but like to Stugatz's point, the optics of that are you're way more important. Yeah.
So I pay $80,000 a year to go to this place and I can't go, but that kid can?
Right. Now, I want to circle back on something my dad was saying, because you're implying how it's so much safer for these kids to not be playing football. But have you seen like the way life is right now? Like restaurants are there's people out at restaurants. Casinos are open around here. You know, you drive by Dairy Queen and the line's out the door. I mean, yes, people
are wearing
masks.
Packed.
But I'm just saying, if kids are sent home and no football, it's not like we're in quarantine and everything is shut down. Like, there's still a risk. Kids are kids. They're still going to be out and thinking that they're young and going places and socializing. So I just don't think if we're looking at that risk versus there is a risk, of course, football, like, you know, transmission, all that stuff, but they're all our risks. So it's like, why are we going to shut down our entire world when there's a risk, even if we cancel the season?
Because we're never going to get rid of the virus by the way we're going. And you know, everything you've said, restaurants are packed, beaches are open, casinos are open. Why do you think we continue to spike? Why do you think the state of Florida continues to set records for test positives and deaths?
No, but Greg, I think what Chris is saying is if the alternative was, hey, no football, you're going to sit in your house for a season, you're going to quarantine, the whole country's going to do that, that's one thing. You're right. The alternative is no football, go about your normal life without football. And I think that's more dangerous for kids than them having some sort of place to be every single day with what hopefully are responsible adults around and doctors around to administer tests and make sure they're doing the right thing. If you told me they're going to go home, because I agree with you. We all need to sit inside our houses again for another year for this thing to go away. Otherwise, it's never going to go away. But that's not an option because many of these states are open and many of these kids have options to go out and do whatever the hell they want. That's not an option. If that was an option, I would agree with you. But if you're choosing football and that environment and then just leaving the kids to their own devices, I choose football and a controlled environment over that.
Yeah, we're certainly going to find out if you're right. But I think there's – look, in the NFL, 68 or 70 players – opted out of the season. That's the equivalent of 1.5 teams. That's a significant number, you know, and these are professionals, older guys, and they're opting out over concerns for their family, et cetera. I think it is a legit concern. I don't begrudge anybody opting out. A couple of Dolphins players opted out. Gregory Rousseau, the ACC sack leader for Miami, opted out. I hope fans don't. I certainly don't blame any player who's being extra cautious with this.
What I believe is we don't need politicians to help spur on college football's return. We don't need politicians to pressure any of these big conferences to bring back these grown men that don't want to play, who might not want to play football, back on the field. We don't need that, because right. what we know is they value money over the lives of these players. So they want to talk about leaving politics out of sports. Leave politics out of sports. Don't interfere with that.
Because you think this goes beyond the NCAA, Roy. This is the government making decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least influencing decisions, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also think it's...
But you also have a bunch of kids who want to play, and prominent college kids who would like to play.
Yeah, I think it's worth discussing again the idea of postponing into next spring, because that's a whole different complication. If you theoretically play the 2020 season next March through May, then you 2 months later you're convening for camp to play the 2021 season. You know, it's like a continuous year of college football. Is that actually going to happen? I find it hard to foresee.
Well, Greg, then what do you do if you're Trevor Lawrence and you're a couple of months away from the NFL draft? I mean, you probably don't play if it's in the spring, right?
Right. Sure. I mean, he's got, you know, frankly, he's got a pretty good reason to be the guy who wants to sit out. I know he doesn't, but, you know, he'd be the number one draft pick whether he played this season or not.
Right. Right. But he'd be less inclined to play if the season was closer to the end, the college season was closer to the NFL draft, I guess.
Right. For sure.
Yeah. It's interesting.
When we come back, cheese. All right, Roy, I'm starting with you. This is not your favorite type of cheese. This is not Munster, cheddar, provolone, all that jazz. This is one way you can eat cheese for the rest of your life. How are you going about doing it?
Sliced. I can always melt it in the microwave if I wanted to. I can always melt it down in a pan or a pot for a dish. So I'll take sliced.
So you're cheating and you're not actually answering the question that I'm asking.
That is correct.
Okay. So sliced cheese for Roy. Greg Cody, what kind of one cheese one way for the rest of your life? What
do you Why doing? Are you doing it one way? Just, I'm sorry to cut you off, but shouldn't it just be what cheese would you have for the rest of your life? You could use it any way you want, no?
I just think this game is more fun.
Okay.
I mean, you asked that question 3 weeks ago anyway, so.
Who, Stu Gatz?
No, you.
I mean,
recycling
I don't
old material, Cody.
Roy, why are you calling me out? Did I do that? We've done. I mean, I know we've done favorite types of cheese. I didn't know. At this point, Roy, we've been doing this what for? Like, the show's been on 20 years. We're in reruns. All right, Roy, just accept it.
This is the 19th time by my count we've done the cheese talk.
Get enough cheese.
But I don't think we've done it. We've done different types of cheese, but like
this is different.
All right, I'm gonna tell you mine. Mine is on cheese and a tequeño. Tony, you know what I'm talking about. No,
I do know what you're talking about, but it's an odd way to have cheese for the rest of your life only in tequeños.
It is a delicious way to eat cheese. And I think
so for people that don't know, tequeño is basically fried dough. It's almost like a Hispanic mozzarella stick.
It's much better than a mozzarella stick.
It is
though.
Because it's not breaded. Like right. as far as like crispy breaded, it's like dough breaded where they fry it. And sometimes it has guava inside. It's delicious.
It's
but it is an odd way to have
so
cheese.
Good. All right, Greg, one way. Go ahead. What are you doing?
You're talking about one way to prepare cheese?
Yes.
What is the question exactly?
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Yes. That's your fault, Chris.
You know, I would take melted, I guess. Melted cheese.
Come on. Yeah.
I felt like I was thinking this segment would go better than it is going so far.
Do you want me to go and save the segment?
Yes, Chris, let's go, Tony. Okay. Bring it.
Good right. luck. Good
the
luck.
Only way to have, and the only correct answer, to have cheese for the rest of your life is on pizza. Right? Like, okay. That's the only answer, is that's having melted. The ability to have cheese on pizza.
That's melted cheese.
Yeah, it is melted.
Melted's way too broad. Saying, yes, I'm talking about in one vehicle. Like yes. like Roy and Greg have played this game terribly. I'm talking about like one way you eat cheese. That's the way you can eat it for the rest of your life. Like pizza. In a tequeno, on a pizza.
You never gave me an example.
It's a very confusing way of presenting a topic. I mean,
well, when you've done a topic 22 times, you got to think of different ways to tackle it.
Well, the
this
answer
is the worst one.
The answer then is for me is that pizza edges a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh.
See, grilled cheese
very
sandwich.
Close.
See,
very
grilled
close.
Cheese sandwich is a good way. Close. See, Stugatz, all right, you've had your time now. We've explained to you in great detail what we're doing.
I don't think you have. I'm confused. Like, are you saying you can only have cheese on one thing? Is that, like Greg said, melted cheese? I thought that was a good answer.
But if he's just saying melted cheese, then his only way of consuming it the rest of his life is spoonfuls of melted cheese. Like, he's not putting it on anything. No, I'm talking about it.
No. That's wrong. He's saying cheeseburger, pizza. No. Like, yes. But Greg can never have nachos again. I guess that's melted cheese.
I'm telling you, he's cheating in this game. Melted cheese is not an acceptable answer.
Okay, but then Greg can never put a slice of cheese in a turkey roast beef sandwich ever again.
What vehicle do you want cheese on? One vehicle for the rest of your life. Maybe that's the way I should have said it. Cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah. I like that.
That is good.
My favorite breakfast sandwich. I would say, like, I can't imagine my life without a bacon, egg, and cheese. That's the vehicle.
Wow. We have come so far with this local hour that we've gotten to the point where we can tackle the serious college football topic better than we can tackle vehicles for cheese. I mean, I feel like we've come a long way. We've progressed.
I would say so.
Like, we just crushed that college football segment. And now this segment, we're kind of like, maybe it's because we've done it seven times. Maybe that's why.
Right. Yeah. Let's practice. A lot of practice on that.
Yeah.
Are we going to work out the segment called Ludicrous?
Let's do it. Is it just me coming up with crazy ideas? That's ludicrous.
I like it.
Yeah, I think so.
The weirder and stranger, the better, right?
The first installment could have been my flag football idea. I should have thought of that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think there's a segment called Ludicrous where it's your spin, your angle on all the sports topics. You know, I think it's fun. I think it's funny.
Everybody mocked my flag football idea. I guarantee you these Big Ten fans would take a flag football season as opposed to what they're going to get.
Nah, probably not. And they think it's stupid.
Yeah, they would.
Greg, send people into their Tuesday.
Well, you know, the Greg Cody Show's out, the new podcast, where we have two of the most obscure interviews in the history of podcasting. So check it out.
Wow. That's quite the sell.
Yeah, thank you.
There's also the Mount Gregmore of Gregs.
Wow.
He unveils the top five Gregs of all time. Will he make the cut? Find out.
Wait a second. Can we discuss top five? I don't want to spoil it. I just want to guess who would be top five Gregs of all time.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that he's on it. That he put himself. Greg Louganis has to be on, right? don't give it away, Greg. Do not give it away yet for the podcast. Find out.
Greg Popovich is in it.
Oh, wow.
Well, see, that's Greg Popovich spells his name with two G's.
Yeah,
that's,
I know it's a point of contention.
That's a very contentious topic on the Greg Cody Show.
That ain't happening.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Very interesting. Roy, who would you guess?
Well, you know, I can't give it away, can I? I mean, come on. No. You could
give a couple
away. Give it away.
I will say that my number one all-time Greg – was somebody Christopher had never heard of. I will say that.
Oh, God.
Right, what I want to do is for the four of us to guess one or two Gregs that we think could be Greg. Chris, do you know?
I do know. Right, so, yeah, don't go to me.
Roy, guess a couple.
Okay.
And we'll see if they end up in the Mount Rushmore. I'm going to go with Forrest Greg.
Wow. 1960s Packers fans will be Greg, cheering right now.
I love how you call that an obscure reference. The list that you actually produced was just as equally as obscure as what Stugatch just said.
How about the shark, Greg Norman, top Gregs?
It's possible.
So it's not a Gregory, right? It's just Greg.
It can be Greg or Gregory, but no double G's. But, you know,
that's where you stand.
In the Greg Peck kingdom, we look down
on Gregory G's. Peck. Gregory Peck. You're absolutely right, Stugatz. And Greg Kinnear.
One of those made the list.
Hey. Hey. You're a Greg Oden sighting. Greg Oden.
Wow. This isn't a top 1,000. It's a top 5.
It's a great Greg. Do we have any other Gregs in the NBA?
Greg Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Did Greg Brady make it? Who knows? You don't know.
Check out Mount Gregmore.
See you later, everybody.
All right, goodbye.
Yeah.
I love the sign off of hee-haw.